Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to the Journal Sentinel Bucks Podcast. I'm Matt Velasquez, and it's November 15th, and I'm talking to beat writer Charles Gardner, who is already in Atlanta getting ready for the Bucks road trip, where they'll hit Atlanta and Miami in back-to-back days. So, Charles, how's Atlanta treating you so far? It wasn't too great to me a couple days ago when I was flying through there on the way to Baltimore for Marquette's road trip. I had an extended stay in the Atlanta airport, so hopefully the city's treating you a little bit better today.
I was in and out of there quickly, Matt, so I guess it definitely went better for me. That's because I wasn't changing flights, I guess. I was just coming right in here and right to the hotel and got here in good shape even with the traffic. So here we are, and we'll see how that goes in Miami tomorrow Thursday, because Thursday will be the second of a back-to-back, and I'll be going in there on the game day, so sometimes that's a challenge, but so far so good.
All right, and so, you know, with this road trip, you know, these are two teams that are kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum in the Eastern Conference. You know, the Hawks are 7-2, off to a solid start. The Heat are 2-7. You know, you actually mentioned they're playing right now, and you're watching them on League Pass, right?
Yes, I have been watching them. They're playing in Miami tonight. It was very close. It was going back and forth. Hassan Whiteside had 9 rebounds in the first quarter already. So no surprise. We know he can do that. But the guy who's been playing so well, and the Bucks will see first, is Dwight Howard here on Wednesday night at Phillips Arena. And, of course, he signed a big free agent deal with the Hawks in the summer, and he has been terrific, averaging 15 points, 12 rebounds, 2 blocks. And he's really, of course, he's from Atlanta. Maybe it's that hometown cooking or the hometown familiarity, but whatever.
Or just not having to share the ball with James Harden all the time.
Or Kobe Bryant, right. So it's looking better than his last two stops. And I asked Coach Kidd about that, and he said, yeah, he said he's really back to the form maybe he showed earlier in his career with Orlando. So that's going to be a big challenge for the Bucks on Wednesday night. Then they go to Miami. And as you said, Matt, their record, they're rebuilding. Basically now they're changing their team. Hassan Whiteside got the big contract, and we all know Dwayne Wade, they let go, and he went on to the Chicago Bulls. So there's some regrouping being done in Miami, but they still got some good players, and I'm sure it will still be a challenge for the Bucks on Thursday night. But it's a back-to-back set, and as we know, Matt, the Bucks have struggled with these, especially the second game of the back-to-backs, and I think that's the objective. One of the objectives of Coach Kidd is to get the team to play better in these back-to-back situations. And they come up in the NBA all the time. And as we know, the Bucks have a good share of them in December. They have all these strange back-to-backs where they're going to be playing Chicago, back-to-back nights, Cleveland, back-to-back nights, and, you know, two games within basically almost a 24-hour period. So it's something they're going to have to work on, and a young team to really, you know, win some of these games, even this on the second night, and not use it as an excuse.
Yeah, and so far this season they've had 2 back-to-backs. They've lost both of them. You know, the first one was at Detroit, lost by 15 in a game that kind of got out of hand.
Yes.
And then the other one was that Sunday at Dallas, where it went to overtime, and then they just kind of stopped playing.
Yeah, it was 12-1 in the overtime. They certainly had a chance to win that game, but a little more maturity They might have won that game. You recall that's the game Giannis got the two early fouls, and he did play through it later, but he admitted that it changed his approach to the game. And the Bucks did have an early lead behind Jabari, but then the game went down to a last shot. Giannis missed it in regulation, and they got steamrolled in the overtime.
Yeah, and that was kind of a tough game, because if they can pull that one out, you know, that's a Dallas team that's struggling to figure out exactly who they are. You know, with the changes that they have, they, you know, it's going to take a magic, season, some kind of, magical coaching and performance by Rick Carlisle to figure out how to get that team to the playoffs. I don't know that they're really a playoff team. But then they come home after that and they lose to the Pelicans, the team they'd already beaten on the, on the road, a team that also has struggled this year. Do you get the sense that, at least among the fan base, that people are a little frustrated that the Bucks especially didn't win those two games, because their schedule at the start of the season is a little bit on the easier side?
Yeah, that was frustrating. That definitely was, because they could have really been off to a nice start. And it's still a decent start at 5-4 right now, 9 games in. But it could have been maybe 7-2,
right,
or 6-3. And certainly they had a chance to do that. And again, it's a little bit of the maturity. Michael Beasley said, what he told me yesterday, that they got their butts kicked in the film session. He said, that'll get your attention, as he put it. And so the coaches weren't happy about it. I'm sure fans weren't happy about it as well. But the good news was, when confronted with a pretty good team against Memphis on Saturday, they finally finished out a game, played well, tight game, 5-point game going to the third quarter, and they won by 10, made the right plays down the stretch, and won the game. And that's a much better team, that Memphis team, with a good young coach in Dave Fizdale. So I think that should give them some confidence going into this week.
Yeah, and this week is more than just that road trip. You know, it's the big game this week is the one that's on Saturday when they come home, when the Golden State Warriors come to town. Last year, that was obviously a very memorable game when the Warriors came to town. You know, what are you expecting from this season, especially with all the changes that Golden State has gone through over the summer?
Yeah, we all remember the 24-0 Warriors coming in last year, and the Bucks taking them down when they had those T-shirts printed up that said 24-1, and before the game, and those T-shirts turned out to be right. And of course, that was one of the highlights of the Bucks season last year. Now the Warriors have lost a couple times already this year, but I think there will still be great anticipation for the game with Kevin Durant now in the lineup for Golden State. And different looking teams, Zaza Pachulia, former Bucks player, coming back with the Warriors. But just to see Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, their one and only appearance in Milwaukee, you figure there's going to be a big crowd, and it should be a real interesting game. One similarity, Matt, that is interesting to note is that last year, Golden State came in on the second night of a back-to-back. Speaking of back-to-backs, after losing in double over, no, winning because
Draymond went crazy.
Remember? Yeah, winning, because obviously they were 24-0. Winning in double overtime in Boston, but they almost lost in Boston the night before. Then coming into Milwaukee, and it was the end of a 7-game road trip, I believe. And so they were pretty much on fumes. This time they're also coming off a back-to-back, not as long a trip, but again, they're on an Eastern swing, and again, they're in Boston on Friday night. So we'll see. Let's see what happens. Will that help the Bucks' cause once more when they face the mighty Warriors?
Right, and for anybody who isn't looking at the Warriors' schedule right now, on Wednesday they're at Toronto, Friday at Boston, and then Saturday at Milwaukee, followed by Monday at Indiana. Yeah, those aren't easy games. Toronto and Boston. I know that. You know, Boston in particular is off to a little bit of a rough start, especially with Horford being in and out of the lineup with his concussion issues. But
right. Toronto playing very well. So
and Boston played him hard twice last year. know, and got the win in Golden State, as far as I remember. So, you know, the Celtics know, well, obviously this is a brand new team. You add Kevin Durant to the whole, to the mix. You know, it's a whole different dimension, but the Warriors, you know, their bench isn't the same. They don't have that same pop and the same depth that they had last year. So, you know, they have to figure out how they manage their starters.
Where Harrison Barnes now in Dallas and the Bucks.
Right.
Oh, we're familiar with him as he dropped 34 points, career high, on the Bucks in that game we were talking about previously.
Right, and Most Bates is gone, you know, Fetsazili's gone, all these different guys are gone, so they brought in, you know, David West and Zaza and, you know, a whole new cast of characters for their bench, and it's you know, they're 8-2, they're still fine, you know.
But they're doing well.
But they're a different team, and it's a different look. It's going to take some adjusting for them, but, you know, we'll see what happens on Saturday night when they come to the Bradley Center. Charles, how do you think this year's edition of the Bucks matches up with the Warriors? And, you know, in terms of not having MCW, who, you know, I, as far as I remember, played pretty well that night.
He played well that game. Yeah, he did. Well, it's interesting to see. Obviously, the Bucks are shooting more threes. They have maybe a little more firepower to go against them now. They got Michael Beasley. They certainly got a better bench. The bench has been very productive. I wrote today about Greg Monroe coming off the bench and actually flourishing in this role. And maybe we'll get a little bit into that in a minute here. But I think that, you know, nobody matches up well against the Warriors, but you got Durant and Giannis. That's worth the price of admission right there. And remember that Giannis's rookie year, he went into Oklahoma and had a good game, and Durant had a lot of praise for him. And it was interesting that Dave Fizdale, the Memphis coach, said the other night, we were asking him about Giannis, and he said, well, he said, I don't know who you compare him to. He said, maybe Durant, but he said, he's still different than that. So, in other words, you know, he still has some other parts to his game. Certainly Durant's a much better shooter, but Giannis may have some parts to his game as far as blocking shots and steals that might eventually be better than Durant's. So that's certainly an intriguing matchup. Then you got Steph Curry. We know the Bucks' problems with defending the three. We know Curry had a record, NBA record, 13 threes the other night against New Orleans. So, you know, there may be some fans coming out to see if he can hit more than that.
Well, I mean, last year, one of the reasons that the Bucks won was because the Warriors were off. They, you know, they were coming off that long trip, the double overtime game the night before, and they got open looks. They had opportunities to, you know, hit shots that they would normally hit,
and they
just didn't. And you know, and the Bucks took advantage and were able to hang in there and ultimately put them away at the end. You know, this year, if Steph gets hot, or if Klay Thompson gets hot, or, you know, even if Durant gets hot, how do the Bucks counterpunch? What do they do if they're behind by a significant amount? Because it's a lot harder for them to claw back.
But remember, who was the key figure in that win last year was Greg Monroe. He just punished them inside. They had no answer for him, remember? And he just got off to a great start, had a great game. And I would imagine they'll, again, try to punish him inside while looking for their outside opportunities when they can get them. And we know Golden State likes to play that smaller lineup. So it'll be interesting to see. This maybe goes into our next topic, Matt, because Henson has been starting at center, but against Golden State, you know, we'll see how that works. I'm sure the Bucks and the Warriors both remember how Monroe played last year in that game in Milwaukee. And, of course, the Bucks played pretty well in the game in Oakland, too, and lost, but had a lead after three quarters, as I recall. Kind of the news Saturday night was that Coach Kidd made the lineup switch at center. Miles Plumlee's been struggling mightily with his production, and just he had started the first eight games, and I wasn't surprised at all about the change. Went to John, and Greg staying in that number two role and coming out, and actually he's playing the most minutes of the three centers, averaging about 21 minutes, and Plumlee did play in the game Saturday, about 9 minutes, and showed some better energy, although, again, he didn't have really any numbers to speak of. But he looked better, I would say that, and he had some more energy. We'll just have to see, you know, how the rotation is going to go. And Jason, at practice the other day, he was pretty candid. I thought he said, well, I'm sure it'll change again. We all know the center rotation is not fixed in stone. It's probably going to change again. But for the moment, he's going to stay with Henson and keep him in the lineup. He likes his energy to start the game. And basically, he said he didn't want to change Monroe because he's been having such success. And in my story, I thought Greg was pretty, I guess you would say he was introspective. He was thinking about his game when we talked to him after practice on Monday. And he said, hey, I give myself a B minus or a C plus. He said, there are things I could do better. I'm still trying to get better in this role and with the team. He also did say he thought the team had a different attitude this season. And he thinks that people are getting closer to finding what their roles should be on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you would hope so by, you know, 10 games into the season.
10 games in, right?
Yeah. You'd want to know a little bit better. Would you be surprised? I mean, obviously you said that Jason Kidd said he doesn't want to change too many things with Monroe, but would you be surprised if he started against Golden State, considering, you know, the impact that he had last year? Or would you lean more towards Henson starts, but Monroe plays more minutes?
Yeah, I think the second. I mean, I think he might come in real quickly, you know, real early, depending on how things are going. But I think Jason doesn't want to be moving too many things around and wants guys to kind of get a comfort level. And we all know John Henson, he's done about everything. He's not played, he's played, he's sat, he's played power forward, he's played center. You know, during his time in Milwaukee, he's seen it all pretty much. So for him to start, you know, I'm sure it's a great opportunity for him. And he had 8.7 rebounds the other night. And, you know, going against Marc Gasol, which is a tough matchup for him because he's got to go out to the 3-point line. And Gasol's out there knocking down three, you know, hit a three and was almost playing a point center at one point in the third quarter. That was a tough matchup for John. But he did his best, and, you know, they held Gasol relatively in check, and they won the game.
Yeah, I mean, and I've talked to John about that in past seasons and earlier this season, and he has the perfect demeanor for a guy who's going to be shuffled, you know, in and out of the lineup. He knows he's surprisingly one of the guys who's been on the Bucks the longest. You know,
yeah, longest tenured since 2012, right?
Which is kind of, you know, surprising to hear, but it's true. You know, but he knows who he is. He knows that his game is valued. He knows what's expected of him, and he knows that if he doesn't get opportunities now, he'll get them later. And, you know, he just needs to be the energy guy who comes in, plays defense, works hard, and does what he needs to do. And he's cool with that. I mean, he's cool with most things. I mean, that's just kind of how he is.
Yeah, he doesn't get too ruffled, and I do think he's playing better. Remember last year, he just said he was disappointed how everything went. He underachieved, and he was the first person to say in the exit interviews that he didn't have a good year. So I think he's taking some steps to turn that around, and whether it's the environment, whatever it may be, it's early. You know, it's still early, 10 games in, so we're going to probably need another 10, 15 games to really get a read on a lot of players, but the signs are good, I think, for him so far. And speaking of some players who the signs have been good for, Matt, Jabari Parker, you know, has just played really well so far, 33 points against New Orleans in a losing cause, but I thought it was maybe the best game I've seen him play in a Bucks uniform. I mean, he was knocking down threes. He was hitting the mid-range. He was dunking on their heads. The lob from Delly was a spectacular play for a one-handed dunk. And that's the kind of Jabari Parker the Bucks were hoping for when they drafted him number two in 2014. So, you know, and even the other night, when Giannis had a big game against Memphis, and Jabari still was playing a strong role with 16 points. So I think, you know, he's definitely worth watching to see how he carries his game through here in the first half of this season. And, you know, we talked to the Memphis coach who had high praise for both Giannis and Jabari, and I'd say, you know, they both have been earning it so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, and aside from Jabari and Giannis, I know that you've been writing a lot recently about guys coming off the bench. You mentioned Monroe. We've talked about him, you know, today. But you've also written about Malcolm Brogdon and Michael Beasley recently because they've actually, you know, been really standing out.
No question. Beasley, of course, had a sensational game. Probably was the difference in the Grizzlies game. If he doesn't score 19 off the bench and find the holes in the zone defense that Fizdale threw at the Bucks in the second half, might have been a problem. And he just has that quick first step. He's so funny to talk with. You know, he said, well, I can jump higher than anybody on the team. And then he waited a minute. He said, well, maybe Jabari. But he can jump out of the building. He can do some of those things. And I think, you know, he's so funny. He said, well, I feel like I'm 19. I didn't really play the last 4 years. So he's obviously relishing this opportunity. And, you know, kid said, some nights it's going to be Teletovich. We need the three-pointers more. He's going to be in. Some nights we need the quick first step and we need the instant offense and going to the basket. Maybe it's going to be Beasley. So just think of that, Matt. You were around last year, you know, when the options were Johnny O'Brien and Damian Inglis. Need I say more?
Fair enough. Fair enough. Actually, you mentioned Teletovich, and that's kind of who I wrote about when I was at the Bucks Kings game in your stead.
Yeah,
oh yeah, and it was great. You know, just going into the locker room and Giannis is yelling, "The superstar's here," you know, and stuff like that, and saying, "Hey, you know, Mirza, please, can I get one? I don't need seven. Just I need one."
He just wants one. Right.
Yeah, and you know, they were having fun, and the whole team was getting in on it, and it was a good atmosphere. But you know, that night was, you know, it was a surprise when Mirza missed. I mean, that's what he was brought there for, and that's, you know, everyone knows that he can shoot like that.
Right. You know. He hasn't done that all the time, but when he does, it's quite a weapon to have. And you mentioned Brogdon. I should bring him up. You know, I think he has just been such a pleasant surprise, very mature. Every player on the team that you talk to, you say, oh, you know, he's a rookie. And all the players on the team correct you. And I think Deli did, and I forget, another player said, oh, no, he's not a rookie. You know, he's 23 years old. He doesn't seem like a rookie to me. And, you know, that's one reason the Bucks drafted him in the second round. They thought he had some maturity. They thought he could come in with a physical nature of his game and a good defender and play. And, you know, he's will have some challenges guarding quicker two guards in the league. And, but, you know, he doesn't let things get to him either. I think someone asked him the other day, they said, well, did you have a wow moment? And he said, well, yeah, the first time I guarded Paul George, I was like, whoa, you know, I'm guarding Paul George. But he said that kind of goes away quickly, and you got to compete, and you got to be out there. And he's really done it so far, and kid has trusted him. I mean, he's had games with plus 20 minutes, plus 12 points. He's often one of the leaders in the plus-minus rating for the team. So that, you know, again, we'll watch how he does. He's an Atlanta native, so, you know, he's probably going to be pretty excited to play down here tomorrow night.
Yeah, and, you know, I feel like I've said it almost every podcast. You know, I remember back, you know, in the spring around the draft and around the combine, we were talking about it, and I just kept saying, Brogdon's really good, and Brogdon's going to fall somewhere, and he might fall towards where the Bucks are, and that's just such a, you know, such a mature, you know, versatile guy who plays both ends of the court, and, you know, can really, you know, and even though he's 23, he still has room to grow. It's not like he's done progressing as a player, and he's definitely a perfect fit for the Bucks, who needed someone off the bench who could play right now, who needed someone who could contribute right now. And
no doubt.
There's been a certain
at the combine. Remember, I don't think Jim Paschke would mind us talking about it, but remember he He saw him and he said, oh, they just have to take this guy. They just have to, because he was so impressed with his demeanor, with the way he handled himself, the way he spoke to the media at the combine. And of course, lo and behold, 36 pick, and they did get him.
Yeah, and you mentioning that players say, oh, he's not a rookie. It just reminded me of a couple of years ago when if we would ever call Miroslav Radulica a rookie, he would say, no, I'm not a rookie. I've been playing for years.
He was playing in Europe, yeah. This is a little different.
It does. It has a very different feel. There's not as much of an edge to it.
Right.
So that's what's going on there. That's what we have. That's the planned portion of the podcast. Now I grabbed a couple questions off of Twitter. I asked for input from a couple people, and I got some questions that I don't know if I can answer all of them, but I think you could probably provide an answer for all of them since you're the Bucks beat writer, and I'm just a guy who kind of pops in and out and helps you as much as I can around Marquette season. So I guess the first one was, what's up with Jason Terry and Rashad Vaughn alternating nights of play? You know, and the question goes on to say, you know, Jet was brutal at Dallas and Vaughn's finally starting to hit some shots.
Yeah, well, that's correct. I mean, he did let Vaughn play, some additional minutes. And and also Terry. Terry in Dallas, he did. Brutal was a pretty good word. I think Terry might use that same word, because I talked to him in the locker room, and he was pretty despondent about how he had played. It was kind of a homecoming for him. Obviously, he and Kidd were teammates there on the 2011 Mavericks title team, and a lot of reporters came up and talked to Terry in Dallas. And Bud Vaughn, he's played some nights and others not. He's showing more confidence with the 3-point shot. So again, I think that's what Coach Kidd was talking about the other night. He said, I've got depth on the bench. He said, everybody wants to play, but sometimes I'm going to have to make a choice and somebody's going to have to sit. And we'll see. It will be interesting to see how much he uses Terry. There have been some games he didn't play as well. So, it's going to be interesting. I mean, I think you know Beasley's going to play, or Teletovich, Monroe. He's still trying to get Plumlee in there and get his kinks worked out, the problems he's had. So it will be interesting to see. But he definitely has Brogdon. Obviously, I know he said one day, hey, Brogdon is the one guy I know. He's playing. You know, he's the backup point guard. He's going to be playing just about every night. But it seems to be that the other guys are kind of mix and match. And if that's a feel for Kidd, he may not get that right, you know, every time in Dallas. Seemed to hurt him a little bit with Terry playing that many minutes. But there might be another night that Terry gets hot. It will be interesting kind of to see how much he has left at age 39, don't you think, Matt?
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's obviously there to be a leader in the locker room. You know, we've seen him and Steve Novak talking to the young guys, and we see that in the locker room, and they do that. And I think that's a much better situation than we saw last year. Just remember when the leaders were Jared Bayless and O.J. Mayo. Hello. Okay. this is a much better situation, I think. And even some of the Bucks, Greg, you know, some of the other players who maybe are in the middle of their career, can help lead as well.
Yeah. And I don't think the locker room or whatever situations they had last year, I wouldn't necessarily indict Jared Bayless as much as O.J. Mayo. They're not on the same level.
No, I mean, Jared actually played well, but he's just, you know, he's quiet. He's just not a guy that's going to go around to every player. And he tried to lead in his own way, but I just don't think it's his personality to be as vocal, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's just a really snappy dresser. That's what he is.
He definitely is that. They may not have as snappy a dresser as I doubt it.
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't. Okay.
It's not happening. So, all right. We'll get to the next question from Twitter.
All right.
I haven't checked the stats, but I'm sure they're right. The Bucks are currently sixth in the league in field goal percentage at 46.2%. Do you see that trend continuing?
Boy, that would be amazing if it does. I mean, I guess I would say I don't. I mean, but they're scoring a lot of points in the paint. They're first, you know, that is a big factor there. They're leading the league in points in the paint. And what are those? Dunks, layups, for the most part, right? Mm-hmm. So if they're making those, I think Giannis, was leading the league in dunks. I saw the other night there was some stat flashed up on the scoreboard, and Jabari's getting his share of dunks and shots in the paint. So that can help your field goal percentage. Now, their three-point percentage could be up and down, and that's going to be a question mark. See where that's at and the medium range. But with Giannis, or Jabari rather, hitting more of his medium range shots, and they definitely should be better. Whether they be sixth, they're sixth right now, our reader says, right? So
yeah, I just checked it. It is right. They are 46.2,
and that is, you know, I wouldn't have guessed it. Let's put it like that. Would you? I wouldn't have guessed that. So if that's a very good start, that's an encouraging sign. And, you know, I think the balance, what they tried to do in the offseason was say, okay, we still like our paint points. We don't want to give that up. We don't want to that. We know we're strong there. We want to stay strong there, but we will also want to add, some type of three-point threat instead of being last in the league in attempts and makes, and we know they just didn't have a threat, and that's hard to compete in the NBA these days with that. So the one other sneaky Tony Snell, I was just going to say, Matt, Tony hit 3 out of 7 threes the other night, and that's all he took were threes. And so, you know, if he can get that up to, you know, 40% or 38%, 37%, because he's going to be taking some threes. He can really help them out there. And it will be interesting to see what his shooting percentage winds up.
Yeah, so I was just looking at last year just for a point of reference, and the Bucks actually finished last year fifth in the league in field goal percentage, 46.7%. But the difference is that they actually shot 34.5% from three, but they only made five and a half a game. This year, they're shooting slightly worse from three, 33%, but they're making more per game because they're attempting more. So, you know, they're just a shade, you know, half percentage point behind their field goal percentage from last year.
And you would think that percentage would go down the more threes you take, obviously.
Right.
So for them to still be at about the same number or a little better, right? A little better right now.
Well, they're slightly under right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Small sample size. So it will be, I would say they're not going to be as good because they're going to attempt more threes. But, if they can keep it in that range, maybe be in the top 10, I think one thing Coach Kidd had said is that he wants them to rank in the top 10, in that field goal percentage. Also, if they can be in the top 10 in defense, then he thinks he's got something going, because we know how the defense slipped, and that might be tough to do, but they're striving to get better on the defensive end. And we all know when they get out, push the pace, they do better. You know, Dallas's secret in that game was they just slowed it down to a crawl. And, you know, what was the score? It was 74 all at the end of regulation. I mean, you don't see that hardly in any NBA game anymore, do you? But
no.
that was the way that Rick Carlisle knew his team kind of had to play to have a chance to win.
Yeah, and as of the time we're talking right now, the Bucks are, I believe, looks like tied for 12th in defense, allowing 102 points per game. If you're just looking at points per game averages, right? We're not going to go go too much deeper because, you know, the question just came up and there we go. But so that's
some of the defensive efficiency and all that, as we go along in the season too. And you know, kind of factor in some of the other analytic type numbers, be interesting to see where they rank. But, I do think they're playing, you know, better defense, for the most part. They've had some lapses and, you know, it'll be interesting to see where it goes. They haven't played the Golden States yet. We see that the Warriors coming in this week. They haven't played Oklahoma City or some of the, high powered teams, although the Thunder's having some of their own problems right now. You know, but there are some high powered, offenses. Say Toronto's coming in next week on the Thanksgiving week, for a home game. That'll be very interesting as well.
Yeah. So let's get to the next question. What is the word on Middleton? Will he be able to play in the spring?
I asked that. That's a good question. I asked that just the other day because Chris has been around. He's actually shooting flat-footed. and he's been around the team. He's been in some coaches' meetings. Coach Kidd said they like to have him in the meetings just to kind of keep him in touch. And he likes to be around. He didn't want to go back to Charleston. He wanted to be around his teammates. And so he's been in Milwaukee. But it's a long ways off. You know, this was to be a 6-month process. And I asked Coach Kidd and he said, hey, we don't have any update as far as when he could return. He said, there's no timetable. And I imagine that's smart. They're not going to start getting into timetables at this point when you're talking about probably a March or April, you know, would be the earliest probably. But I was thinking about this the other day, Matt, just for the speculation, just to think about it, is that, say, what if they can kind of hang in this playoff race? And you see some of these East teams have struggled already, and it's not too far-fetched to think, well, they could be in the hunt here, unlike last year. So say they're in the hunt, and for the purpose of argument, say you get Chris back in mid-March or late March. What a boost would that be in maybe securing a playoff spot or then going into the playoffs. But I don't know anything about whether he will be ready. And I don't think the Bucks people do right now. And if they do, they're sure as heck not going to share it with us, I believe.
No, they're gonna keep that close for the near future.
Yeah, if they even had a hint. Because you know this, Matt. If they say right now, oh boy, he's ahead of schedule, he's looking great, you know, and then there's a setback, this is what all NBA teams fear. And you know, he's still in the very, very early stages, but he is walking and he is around practice, and I take that as a good sign. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, can he come back this year, and will the Bucks be in a position where they need him to come back?
Where
he can really make a difference. That's going to be the salient point right there.
Yeah, and you mentioned the East, and there are a bunch of teams that are kind of struggling to start the season. You know, the Pacers, we saw them, you know, come in and just kind of look like they're in shambles. And the Knicks,
they've struggled so far. They've struggled. I think they're 5-6. Detroit has maybe a little misleading record. They're 5-0 at home, but 6-5. But they've already been on the West Coast. And the Bucks aren't going to that big West Coast trip until March. You got Detroit that's already been out there. Chicago's now starting its circus trip. And I was reading in the Tribune today that it's the last circus trip. There will be no more circus at the United Center starting next year, and the Blackhawks and Bulls will not have to vacate the premises for 2 weeks as they've done for many years now. And I'm sure they're happy about that. But so those teams are going to have played some of the tough, you're talking about the Clippers, you know, the Lakers, or the Bulls were at Portland tonight. You know, those are tough games. And the Bucks are going to have some of those games later in the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's someone's got to make the playoffs in the East, and you know, they're with all these teams. The Knicks, who knows what they're doing. The Nets are not going to be good. The Magic are getting outscored by 10 points a game. You know, the Heat.
Although, did you see they won in Oklahoma City on Ibaka's jumper?
Which is perfect.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have no idea what the Wizards are going to be. John Wall's getting ejected from games, and Bradley Beal can't play. You know, as he has been.
Yeah. See what's going on with them. The Bucks will see them, twice in December, or I think maybe three times. Twice on the road, and maybe once at home. So they're going to see the Wizards soon, so that'll be interesting. Not this month, but in December.
Yeah, plenty of time to look ahead to the schedule, I guess. You know, but yeah, at some point, someone's got to make the playoffs in the East, and there aren't a lot of great-looking teams right now. So the Bucks, you know, by process of elimination,
could have a chance.
You know, not to disparage them and say that they aren't good enough. I'm just saying someone's got to make it. You know, if you're hovering around 500, your chances right now are looking good.
You're going to be in it. Yeah.
And so, all right, let's get to the last question that we have for tonight. Would Thon Maker be better off in the D League given his lack of playing time?
Well, I would not be surprised that he might go to the D League in January or later in the season. The Bucks have always kind of taken this approach with young players, where they like them to be with the team, with the coaches, with their teammates early on, and really get accustomed to the NBA life, the practices, how the coaches operate. I think that's their mode with young players. We even saw that with Rashad Vaughn, where, remember, he didn't really go to the D-League right away. Later on, he went. He had a couple stints in the D-League, and then he came back. And I wouldn't be surprised that might be the same for Thon, that they would try to get something going like that maybe in January or after the first 2 months of the season. But he isn't going to play that much this season, very unlikely, unless there are a lot of injuries. You know, he's basically the organization has said that, you know, whereas Brogdon is going to play and Thon is going to be nurtured along at a slower pace. But I think that can involve the D-League, no doubt. But the way the Bucks like to do it, we've learned, is first keep that young player with the big team, and then maybe later ship him out for a week or two to a D-League. And remember, they don't have their own D-League affiliate right now, whereas some teams do, so that makes it a little harder. But they did get Inglis and Vaughn some of that experience last year with some of the teams in the D-League.
And it seems like being with the team has been a positive experience for Thon. I mean, just being in the locker room and being around him, you can tell he's enjoying it. You can tell that he enjoys coming to work every day and practicing and lifting and just being around the guys and knowing, you know, that that's what it's going to be. And that sometimes he'll get in, sometimes he won't. And, you know, he obviously had that great debut when he at the
right,
Rally
you
Center,
wrote about that.
When he made those threes and the whole team was dancing around and, you know, guys were, you know, kind of giving him some playful flack in the locker room and just, you know, it seems like a good environment for him and he's got the right personality for it. So I don't think he's really bothered by not playing in any way.
I agree. He understands that he's learning and, yeah, he's just trying to absorb everything. Remember how he talked to us in the preseason? He said, oh, I just never seen anything like this where the coaches go over film on the iPad with him before the game. And he comes early. He's coming early to the arena and shooting and working with the coaches every game. And that's what this coaching staff believes in. That's what they believe in, is getting a guy and working with him. And then maybe they send him out where he gets some more playing time on the court. And of course, in practices, he's practicing too against these guys. So, that's something that's valuable as he goes along, but he certainly has the potential to become a good player in the league from all indications.
Great. All right. Well, that's all the questions that we got this week. Thank you to everyone who submitted questions on Twitter. And that is fantastic. I expect we won't have another podcast before Thanksgiving.
No, not next week due to the holiday, but after that, when we can get our schedules linked up. I know you're getting busy with a lot of games, too, and the schedule's starting to heat up a little more, college and NBA right now.
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, at first, when we first launched the podcast last year, we called this a weekly podcast, and now we shy away from that because we, as much as we want to do it weekly, we really do, it gets a little bit hectic, a little bit crazy, and I think we just have come to grips with the fact that, you know,
do a good quality when we do it.
That's what we do. You know, that's what we hope we do. You know, it's put something good out there when we do and try and, you know, manage covering two different teams and throw it all together. So, yeah, on this week I'll be on the road, you'll be on the road, and we'll try and, you know, get back together not next week, maybe in person next week.
Probably early December. I think that first week in December, I'm not sure where you are, Matt, but I'll be in New York. Bucks play in Brooklyn. In another one of those, it's a back-to-back, although there is a day in between. But they'll be playing Brooklyn that first week in December and also in Orlando. And maybe by that time we'll see how they're doing, check back in on them again.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who stuck with us through this podcast and who submitted questions and who listens every time we put one out, whether it's weekly or not. We really appreciate it. If anyone's listening to this for the first time, definitely go into the the iTunes Store or in Google Play or in anywhere you get podcasts, basically. Go out and subscribe. And you can also find the podcast on jsonline.com/bucks. You can also find it on the Journal Sentinel Bucks Extra app. You can also find it on Audioboom, Stitcher.
Everywhere.
And anywhere you want to look. It should be there. That's the goal. It should be there pretty quickly. So definitely check out past episodes as well as future ones if you subscribe. And we'll talk to you guys again late November, early December. Thanks for following.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.